The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. These past few weeks, many of us have stopped touching each other. For good reason, I get it. But we've stopped touching each other. Our touch has actually become dangerous. This evening, they're expecting over 1 million to attend the Super Bowl. And the people there are going to be in incredibly tight quarters. Staff have been wiping down all of the exhibits, everything at the Super Bowl experience, the chairs, the bathrooms, multiple times a day with sanitizing wipes. They're even urging us that are going to watch the Super Bowl on television to limit our contact at our Super Bowl parties. At Faith, like in many other congregations, we've been sharing the peace 1970s style, and we'll do it again today, and limiting our hugs. We've taken away our common cup, and we're using individual communion cups. We've even washed down all of the shaker eggs that the children use, and Tammy even washed everything in the busy bags. Personally, I've stopped holding hands during a prayer, or I've washed my hands very, 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 very well before I've held someone's hand. I visited someone with flu in the hospital last week, and I even stood on the other side of the room. We know that all this is temporary, but it's been challenging. We know the value of touch. Think of babies, especially preemies. It's been proven that contact, early touch, helps promote healthy psychological and physical development. Touch, the power of touch, helps to regulate body temperature, establish sleep patterns, and even steady heart rates. There was a USA Today story recently about an ICU grandpa. He's been a volunteer at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta for more than 12 years. After retiring from a career in international business, he finds himself now at the hospital several times per week rocking babies, holding them, singing to them, humming to them, and just being with them. Touch is so important, and not just for babies. We too know what it feels like to be hugged, to have someone reach out and hold our hand. Touch is all about feeling good, sure, but there's also healing in the touch. In Mark's Gospel today, we heard that Jesus went to the house of Simon and Andrew, and Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And Jesus came, and he took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and then the fever left her. Jesus models the power of a healing touch. The fever had left her strength and her life depleted. But Jesus takes up her hand, just like he'll do later with the daughter of Jairus and the epileptic boy. He takes up her hand, lifts her up, raises her up. And it's a physical movement, yes, but it's also a resurrection. Jesus gives this woman new life. Have you ever been part of a laying on of hands for a healing, a confirmation, or an ordination? Or even on Maundy Thursday when we do the healing service? We too lay on hands when we baptize. And when we lay on hands, when we touch, it feels like we're part of a very ancient ritual, but yet we're vividly present. We're passing something on from one to another, something that is holy. We're transferring the power of the Holy Spirit from one person on to another, and we are bringing new life. I like to think, too, of the times that we sit around our kitchen tables getting ready to share a meal together. And we reach out to the one next to us and hold their hand. Or when we conclude a meeting at Faith Lutheran and pray the Lord's Prayer together while holding hands. So much is communicated in this power of touch. So much life is being transferred. There is clearly this physical component of healing in a touch, but there's also a social component. This woman was not alone. Jesus was physically present with her, and healing came through Jesus's physical and social contact. Social isolation, when there is not touch between an individual and another, no interaction between an individual and another, can be as harmful as the lack of physical touch. Physical isolation can exhibit signs of anxiety, depression, lack of appetite, cognitive decline, and even developmental disabilities. And it is so easy to become isolated from society. All it takes is a death, lack of transportation, an illness, violence, bullying, a broken or separated family, or countless other things. And there are so many who are isolated, so many who are alone. There are those who sit alone in a house or an apartment or in an assisted living facility or in a hospital. There are those who sit in a room full of people who are also alone, isolated, and left out. Some may have an illness or a change in life, cancer, a loss of a job, a divorce, and suddenly no one knows how to talk with them anymore. People don't want to dredge up something uncomfortable, so they say nothing. And it can be lonely. And it can be isolating. Some find themselves in assisted living, which is a very good and necessary place for certain times in our lives. And even there, we might hesitate to reach out. We don't always know when we're welcome. We don't know if we're going to be a bother or that we might visit at the wrong time. We might be afraid that it'll be awkward. We don't know what to say, or there might be silence. Some want isolation, maybe. But everyone needs to be touched in one way or another, and everyone needs to be healed. Jesus didn't isolate. Jesus didn't leave the leper in the leper colony outside the city. Jesus didn't leave the widow or the orphan alone, or the prostitute or the tax collector. No, Jesus reached out and he brought them in. He touched them and he healed them. And we are called to do the same. And God will give us the strength and the words, or even patience during the silence, to touch and to heal. But what happens after the healing? Mark's gospel said that first Jesus took her by the hand and lifted her up. And then Simon's mother-in-law began to serve them. Simon's mother-in-law was healed, and then she served them. What does it mean when Simon's mother-in-law served them? We can talk first about what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that women should be the ones in the kitchen coordinating all of the potlucks. It doesn't mean that women have no place in the leadership of a church, on a corporate board, or leading our country. And if you doubt that might be the interpretation at times, just open the newspaper or watch the news. We are all made in the image of God, and Scripture does not say that any of us should be held down by our gender or anything else about us, and that's gospel. When Andrew's mother-in-law served others, although she might have made them dinner, and that's perfectly okay, there is so much more that is going on. The Greek word for serving another has the same meaning as the angel at the beginning of Mark who served Jesus in the wilderness. The angel cared for Jesus as he was with the wild beasts and tempted by Satan. And the angel didn't do this because the angel had to. For the angel and for Simon's mother-in-law and for us, serving is a response to our faith. When Simon's mother-in-law was released from the fever that bound her, she was free to serve others. Simon's mother-in-law doesn't serve others because she must, but because she wants to. And this is what discipleship looks like. Jesus frees us from whatever binds us, be it the unclean spirit in the man last week or the fever in Simon's mother-in-law this week. And we are free so that we can and we will want to serve others. Because we have been freed, I want to challenge each and every one of us this week. I want all of us to reach out and touch someone. A family member, a neighbor, a coworker, a child. I want you to free them, even if for a moment, from whatever binds them, be it sickness, loneliness, worry, work, or grief. Pick up the phone, send an email, go visit someone who might be socially isolated. And to make it really easy today, I've got a table out in the narthex that is filled with cards and Faith Lutheran directories and pens and return address labels. And take a minute. It really only does take a minute, but send a card. I never cease to be amazed when I make my visits to the homebound or the sick. Cards from many of you hang on their refrigerators and on their doors. They're used as bookmarks or they sit on a bedside table. One woman that I visit has a card that was sent to her over a year ago and she still uses it as a bookmark. And her mind may not be strong, but each and every time I visit, she reaches out and she touches that card and she tells me who it is from. And then she traces very slowly the design that is on that card. So today, look around you. Look at our prayer list. Notice who isn't here. And they may not be here because they're ill, or they may be avoiding the flu, but they also may be homebound. They may be at college. They may be in the military. And maybe we don't know why they're not here. But reach out to them by card. Tell them that you miss them. Tell them that Faith Lutheran misses them. Touch them. Heal them and bring life into the darkness. In touching another, we are serving another, and we are serving Jesus. We are the hands of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.